Begin the current daf, Sabtas Baba Kama daf Lamed. Begin on the second line down for the time of the Amid. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of these Mishnahs, and this parak talking about different damages that a person causes in the Rishas Rabim in the public domain. The Mishnah begins, Hashefich Maim Rishas Rabim. Somebody spills, pours water in the public domain. V'huzik behen achar. Now somebody gets damaged because of the water in the street. Chayv Beniska. So the guy who's poured the water out there is liable for the damages. Next halacha the Mishnah says, related in these discussions about damages in Rishas Rabim, Hametznias Hakoitz Besas Chuchas. If somebody conceals a thorn or glass, or Vagoydes Gidra Bekoitzim, or if he makes a wall out of thorns, or Vagedir Shenafal Rishas Rabim, or regular wall made out of bricks that falls into the public domain, either one of these cases that we just mentioned, V'huzik ben Achayim, and other people get injured, Chai ben Iskan is liable for the damages. Again, these are all liabilities. Hiding thorns or glass or making a wall out of thorns or a wall that falls and collapses into the public domain are liabilities that a person is going to be chayiv in the netzik. Now, Amar Rabbi qualifies the halacha that our Mishnah opened up with regarding if somebody spills water and someone else gets damaged, he's chayiv. He says, Loi shonu, we didn't learn that you're going to be liable. El denit nefu kelo b'mayim. Only if the guy who got damaged from the water that you spilled, only if his garments, if his vessels get ruined in the water. But actually, he himself, if he gets injured by slipping on the water, then the owner of the water is going to be exempt. Because karko ilam hizikasai, essentially, what did the owner of the water do? The water itself, when the guy's clothing gets saturated in the water, so the water that is owned by the guy who poured it is liable. But the guy who slipped on the water, what ended up damaging him? Not the water. He slipped on the water and he hit himself on the ground. That, says Rav, I don't own the ground. That's not my bar. Bar is only lahavlui b'lo lechavote, as we explained in the previous daf. As actually the Gemara is going to shortly ask, it sounds like the same halacha we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, the way Rav qualified that Mishnah. But so what could I be liable for? The fact that you slipped on my water, that's called groma b'nizak, and it's called only causation. For that, you're not liable. So therefore he says that this liability of the Mishnah of the water is only on that guy's kalim, but not on his body. Now on this, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Hunda l'Rav, he says, why? Lo yehei ele kiriv shai. It shouldn't be any less than the guy's own mud. In other words, somebody that throws out manure into the public domain, obviously is going to be liable when he doesn't make it hefker. If he's still maintaining rights, if the guy gets and injures himself on that, he's going to be liable. So therefore, what Rav Hunda is asking is that here, when the guy who poured water should be the same thing like when the guy throws out manure, when he throws out a muddy type of a substance, because here you have the water that's mixing with the ground that's made out of dust, that's made out of earth, and it becomes this type of clay type of a hard ground, which is his. From the fact that, as what Rav Hunda is asking from, is that the way Rav qualified that the owner of the water is going to be liable for when the guy's kalim get ruined, obviously the owner of the water wasn't mafker his water. The reason being is because if you would say he was mafker it, then the person's not liable for his shur, for something that caused damage, unless he owns it. The only one that could be is that of bur, which is even though you don't own the Rishas Rabim, you would be liable for the bur. But the thing is, bur is patur on kalim. So Rav is qualifying that you chayiv on the guy's kalim, obviously not coming as bur. So it's coming as that you own it. You still own the water. So if you own the water that mixes with the ground is what causes this hard clay-like area, which the guy hits himself. It's not just on karka oilam. It's your water that he's getting injured in because it's a mixture of the water with the ground. So that's just like the refish when someone throws out manure. It's also part of the ground, but if you're not mafker it, we're here, you're not mafker the water, you should be liable on the guy's damages on his body too, not just on his kalam. So I think my answer is, mi savet de loitama maya. Do you think the case of the Mishnah is talking about where the water wasn't totally absorbed, rather that it gathered together and it caused like a type of a muddy area? No, but the Tamamai, you were talking about where it totally got absorbed and therefore there's no more mud over here. So that's why there's nothing here that there's water of an element that could injure a person. It could cause him to slip. And actually, as Tesis points out, that if the water got totally absorbed, then generally a person would be mafgrid because there's nothing left over here, and then there would be bar, and then you should be parter on kalim. So why is Rav qualifying that you're chayav on the kalim? So he says, actually, it's not that it totally got absorbed. It's just that there's not enough to be able to create substance of muddiness to make the liability of the guy himself getting hurt on the ground. Rather, it's that there's just a little bit amount which you do want to hold on to, and therefore the only liability would be on the keli, but there's no liability for the person as if the injury of his body on the ground was related somehow because you had made it muddy. Now, however, the Gemara asks, V'tarti lamali, why do I need both of these qualifications of Rav to teach seemingly the same halacha of our Mishnayis of regarding someone that is ruining someone else's kelim by getting muddy, by getting ruined with the water? Because we already learned this in the Mishnah of Chaf Chesem and Aleph. We spoke about seemingly the same type of a case, which was if someone's jug breaks in the public domain, and we said if someone slips on the water, so Rav there qualified and he says, no, it's talking about that you were not mafkrid, and what's the liability? Because teen of kelim, because the guy's garments got ruined. Not on the person himself. So that's seemingly the same halacha that a Mishnah is saying over here. When someone pours out water and there's just a rabbin, and that someone else gets damaged, Rav's qualifying, not the person, but the kalim, that the one who's poured it out is going to be liable. It's the same halacha about liability of water in the public domain on the kalim, not on the person. Why do we need two Mishnahs to say the same halacha? So the Gemara says, Chadim Maisachama. One Mishnah is telling us in the summer months, the Chadim Maisach Sham, and one of the Mishnahs is telling us, an extra Mishnah to say that the halacha applies even during the winter months. And that's necessary to say because although you did it with permission, you're allowed to pour out your water in the Rishus Ram in the winter months, still if a damage happens, you're going to be liable for the payment. Tanya, like learn the Braisa. Kol Elu Sha'amri, regarding all these things that the sages said, that you're permitted to pour out, to cause some type of a kilkel, something that's ruining in the Rishus Ram, that... But the sages said you're allowed to do that, and they are pliskin bevaisehen. Person's allowed to pour out his wastewater through his gutters into the public domain, which biv are these pipes that pour out. The person has the wastewater of the house; it goes out into the public domain. Vegorfin moreisein, and they could clear out and empty out into the public domain their caves full of waste. Bimaisa chama ein lemrishos. So that halacha does not apply in the summer months. In the summer months, one is not allowed to because the streets are cleaning off throughout your dirty water. But in the winter months, you're allowed to. Anyways, all muddy and dirty, the whole street, so you're allowed to throw out. The sages said you're allowed to pour out your wastewater in the winter months. Now that's what, however, the halacha is saying is that, but even though you have permission, but if it causes damage, then you're going to be liable to pay. That's why we needed to say another Mishnah to say that there is going to be a liability in Kalim, not just B'mayzachama, as one Mishnah would be telling us, but even B'mayzach Sham, as the other one would be necessity to say that it's going to be liable even then, even though you had Rishus to do it, still you're going to be Chayiv. Now the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said, Hamatzneas Akaitz, another case of liability in Rishus Ram was that if you hid thorns, Bechulu, etc., which is going on the next case of Gadru Bekaitzim, that if you made a wall out of thorns, then we said you're going to be liable too if someone gets injured from your wall because you got thorns sticking out of your wall into the Rishus Ram, then you're going to be Chayiv. Now, that Amr Biyechin, he qualifies this halach and he says, Leishonah ilam afriach. We only learned this regarding, which the word perach means like a blossoms, only if it's sticking out into the Rishus Ram. Mitzamtzim light, but if a person constricted, He actually pulled the wool into his domain. So even if it's sticking out, the thorns are only in his rishus. Then if a person who is walking rishus ram walks into his domain and scratches himself and hurts himself on his thorns, then the owner of the wool is going to be exempt. So the Gemara explains my time of Potter. Why is he exempt? So says Lafisha in it's not normative. It's abnormal for a person to go ahead and scrape himself up against the wall. You don't walk on walls. You walk straight. Now, if it's sticking out to the Rishus Rabban, so even though it's abnormal, you're still going to be chayv. But if it's in the person's private domain, he pulled it back a little bit, and the guy does something abnormal, then that's not going to be a liability for the owner of the wall, even though it has thorns sticking out, because what are you doing in my property? Therefore, and additionally, you're doing something abnormal by scraping up against the wall, then even if you get hurt by the thorns, the owner of the wall is not going to be chayv. Now, related halacha, the Gemara says, Tarnabon, learn the Braisa. Somebody goes to his friend's wall and he conceals, he hides over there thorns or glass. Now, the owner of the wall comes down and demolishes the wall. Now, those elements that guy had hidden there, the glass, the thorns, whatever hit in that guy's wall, now fell into the public domain and now harmed somebody else. Says the Braisa Chayiv HaMatznia. So the liability falls on the guy who concealed it, the owner of the glass and the thorns, not the owner of the wall. Now Amr Biechen, he qualifies this halacha and he says, Leishana ele b'kaisa ru'ua. We didn't say this halacha only when it was a shaky wall, which is the guy who was hiding his glass or thorns in that guy's wall should have entertained to say that this wall might one time, very shortly, be demolished because it's a shaky wall. And therefore, the fact that now it's causing damages is his liability. But if it was a strong, sturdy wall, the guy who hid his stuff in that guy's wall is exempt. He shouldn't have necessarily entertained that the wall is going to fall. And to the contrary, it's actually the owner of the wall who's going to be liable because he should have entertained that maybe somebody put stuff in this wall because it's a real strong wall. Maybe people might tend to put stuff in over there. And therefore, he should have gone and concealed whatever was inside of it before he knocked it down. And therefore, his knocking it down is actually his own liability, even though it's not his glass or thorns that were in this wall. Now, Amr Avinu, Avinu says, Zayse Meres, so this would say, based on what we just said, HaMachaseh Boiroi, if someone goes and covers his pit, Bedolyoi, with the pit covering, Shal Chaveri of his friend, now, Ubo Balt Leiv, and Natal Dolyoi. Now, the owner of the cover says, where's my cover? He's on this friend's pit. He goes and he takes his cover back. Says Ravina, Chai Balabar, based on what we just said before, the liability wouldn't come from the guy who uncovered the pit. Now, usually the one who uncovers the pit is liable. No, he took back his cover. The owner of the pit's going to be liable because it's exactly what the halacha we just said before. We said that if somebody conceals his thorns, he hides his thorns, which is a bur, when it falls, it's a bur b'shus ram. If he hides it in Kaisel Ru'u Shal Chaver, we said if he hides it in his friend's shaky wall, and then the owner of the wall knocks it down, we say, who's liable? The one who hid his stuff over there. Why is he liable? Because he should have entertained to say, the guy's going to knock down his wall, so it's your fault for putting it over there. Here also says, Ravine, it's the same thing. He should have entertained the guy who covered his pit with that guy's pit covering, that this guy's going to take his cover back. So the fact of needing to entertain says that if you didn't entertain, it's your negligence, and therefore the liability is on you. Therefore, that's the same halacha where the owner of the pit is going to be chayiv, not the guy who took his cover back. Now that thing might ask actually pshita. It's pretty obvious. Exactly the same halacha as the Braisa. So what actually is Ravina teaching us? So the Gemara says, no, ma'u de tema, we would have thought to say that it's not the same thing. Why? Because hasam hu, it's only over there that the reason why that there's no liability for the owner of the wall is de lahava yadale. He didn't know who the guy was. He doesn't know who put stuff in this wall. He didn't know who concealed glass or thorns in his wall. The loide, that he should let him know that he should come and take his thorns. Now, as the Bach points out, however, by a sturdy wall, the owner of the wall is going to be liable because he did something, he deviated from the norm, which was to break down a very sturdy wall, so that's why it's liability. But by a shaky wall, we're not going to hold him responsible because he doesn't know who the guy is to notify him to say, hey, come take your stuff. Now, aval hacha, but over here, by the owner of the pit cover, the yadale, he knows the owner of the pit. He sees it's on his friend's pit. Havale lo'idoi, he should have notified the pit owner that I'm taking back my pit cover. Why didn't you tell him? Obviously, there's a barb now that's open now. You took it back. You should have notified him. You didn't notify him. You, the owner of the pit cover, is going to be liable. Kamash Malan, that's what Davina is teaching us. No, that's not a significant reason. That's not the reason why. And the reason why is that the owner of the pit cover is going to be exempt because it's his. And moreover, is that the liability is from the pit owner that he should have been aware that this is something that's going to happen. Just like over here, the guy who's putting his thorns in the shaky wall, you got to entertain it's going to be knocked down soon. Here also, you got to entertain the guy's going to take back his pit cover. Therefore, the liability is on the Baal Habar, and that's the Chiddush Ravina, that even though maybe you would say that he shouldn't be chayiv, because at least let this guy, yeah, it's his cover, but let him have told me he knows it's mine. In other words, he knows it's my pit. Why didn't he tell me? That's what saying, no, he doesn't have the responsibility of doing that. You should have entertained, it's going to be taken away, and that's why the liability is on the owner of the pit. Now, continuing a related discussion, Tanur Ban Linda Braisa, Chasidim HaRishayim, the earlier pious ones, as we were talking about that, what people would do to conceal, where would they put their thorns or the glasses? These are the shards. They didn't have these red boxes where everyone puts in these pointy things that to be disposed of. So what would they do with it? So we said that some people would put it in other people's walls. But the earlier pious ones, they would conceal their thorns in their glass, in their fields. Now moreover, they would put it to a depth of 3 tvachim, that it shouldn't hold back and get in the way of the plowing, which goes to a depth of 3 tvachim. Now Rav Shesh is actually shadlehu benur. He would throw it into the fire. That's how he would dispose of it. Rav Shadilehu Bediglas, Rav would throw it into the Diglas, into the Tigris River, again, trying to get rid of these dangerous things without harming other people. Now, related to this, the Gemara says regarding being a chassid and disposing of and not causing damage to any person, Amar Rav Yehuda, he says, Hayman deboilem have a chassid. Whoever wants to be a chassid, a pious person, Lekai mila din nizakin, should fulfill the statutes, the halacha of nizakin, of the topic of our mesachtes over here, of damages. Rav Amar, he says, mila d'avis, a person should fulfill the words of mesachtes avis, if he wants to be a chassid, to work on self-growth. V'amrilan, some say mila d'brachas, work on should learn the mesachta brachas, which Mefarshim explained, these three items are becoming a chassid in the three different parts of a person. There's Bein Adam Lamakim, which is Masechta Brachas, thanking Hashem for everything. There's Mili. There's Bein Adam Lachaveiroi, which is Nizakin. And then there's Bein Adam La'atzmai, between a person and himself, becoming a better person, which is what Masechta's Avis is all about. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme of this parak regarding damages that a person causes in the Rishus HaRabim. So the Mishnah begins, HaMaitzias Tivnoi V'Kasher L'Rishus HaRabim L'Zivalm. If someone takes out his straw and his stubble into the public domain to create manure, which is that they would take out the straw and the stubble, which is the refuse, the part of the stalk, which is not the grain part, which you take it out to turn into manure, which is what they use to fertilize the fields and the vineyards, which it's a process of becoming this compost, which is when you put it out to the street that people step on it, that causes it to turn into this fertilizer. Now, v'huzik ben acher, and then somebody, however, gets damaged by this person's manure, by his straw and his double, then chayv beniskay. So then he's going to be liable for his damages. And moreover, says the Mishnah, b'chol ha'koydim hen zacha, is a penalty that whoever actually wants to could go ahead and acquire this guy's straw and stubble. He put it out into the street. It's causing damage. So now whoever causes damage, someone else could go ahead and take his stuff. It's the guy doesn't have to let this guy keep it. You could take it from him. Now, Shem Gamlilam, he says, Kol Makalkin Bershus Arabim Vehezikoi, anything that is destructive, that ruins things in the public domain and causes damage, Chayavim L'Shalom, so the owner of that has to pay. And also, B'chol HaKoyin Menzach, whoever goes first come, first take, you could take this guy's things away that he puts into the public domain. Now, as Rashi points out, Shem Gamlil heard from the Tan Kama, as the Gemara will bring this in the Brisum, that he said the knas of that whoever wants to take this guy's stuff could take it because he's causing these damage in the public domain is only on the shvach, only on the what it increased in benefit, meaning to say that it originally was only straw and stubble, now it's into this good fertilizer, it's that you could take away from him, but the principle itself that he put out, that you're not allowed to take away. And that's where Shimon Gamliel is coming to disagree and to say that no, even the principle that he put out, a person could come and take away from that guy. Another version Rashi says is that what he's coming to say is that when he says kol makalklin is even if the guy did it brishus with permission, as we said the halacha, even though you're allowed to put stuff out sometimes in Rishus HaRabim, still says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that it's since it causes damage, someone could go ahead and take it away. The Mishnah concludes ha'hoivich as a gol brishus HaRabim. Someone if he finds fertilizer there, dung in the public domain, and he turns it over, thus acquiring it because he picked it up in the public domain. And now that he acquired it, v'huzik ben acher, and someone else got damage on that dung, chay ben iska, he's going to be liable for those damages. Now the Gemara says, lemas nitin leka bihuda. Let's say our Mishnah, the town of a Mishnah, is not like a bihuda. Why? The town of a Braisa. Bihuda, I mean, he says, b'shas haitzos zivolim, at the time when people take out their manure, other maitzi zivolo l'shosaram. So, meaning in the time of fertilizing the fields, a person could take out its fertilizer to the public domain. But they could have it piled up for 30 days. In other words, he's allowed to leave it there. And why would he take out his manure to the public domain? So that people and animals should be stepping on it. It's for that purpose that Yeshua gave over the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. Now, people shouldn't be particular about people putting out the manure in the public domain because it helps out to create a good fertilizer. So Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to put out these things in the public domain. So similarly, that's not like the halacha of that mission that says that you're not allowed to, and actually that's why you're liable for the damages, and whoever wants can take away your stuff. So that the Gemara says, no, I feel a tam Rabbi Yehuda. You could say no, the town of that mission is even like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Shem Hizik, Mishal, Misha Hizik. You're allowed to put stuff out, but if it damages, then you're liable for the damages that it causes. Now, Tosafot points out, but the Mishnah says, Kol HaKodim Hen Zacha, whoever wants to take your stuff away, why are they allowed to take it away if you're allowed to put it out? Now, Tosafot says, no, the Kol HaKodim Hen Zacha is after 30 days. You're allowed to leave it out for 30 days. After 30 days, if you maintained it there, then someone's allowed to go ahead and take it away, according to this part that the Gemara is at right now. But the Gemara continues asking, but Vatnan, we learned in the Mishnah later on, Samach Bezim and Bezir, Rabbi Yehuda himself says, B'ner Chanukah Pater. This is regarding in Perek HaKeinis, which talks about when you have a camel that's laden with flax and was walking through the Rishus HaRabim. If the flax goes into the store, owner of the camel is camel is liable. But if the candle is outside that ends up getting for the flammable flax causing the fire, so the owner of the candle, who's the store owner, he's going to be liable. But Rabbi Yehuda says, if the reason why he had a candle outside the store was for Neir Chanukah, then the owner is going to be Pater, Neishu Brishus, because he has permission. The halacha is Persumi Nisa, you're allowed to put your stuff outside. So therefore, since you have the right, so there the owner of the candle is going to be exempt. Says the Gemara, My La Mishum Rishus Bezin, isn't it talking about what right does he have? It's the right of the court that he's allowed to put it out, as we said, because of Persumi Nisa publicizing the miracle, so you see that's why he's Pater. So how can you say that the halacha of our Mishnah is like a Yehuda, which is that although you're allowed to put stuff out, but if it causes damage, you're going to be liable. We see Rabbi Yehuda says, no, when you're allowed to do something and it causes damage, then you're going to be exempt, like the owner of the Ner Chanukah. So the Gemara says, Loi, no, there is difference, not the Rishus of Bezdin, which would be the same as the Halach of our Mishnah, Mishum Rishus Mitzvah. The reason why you're going to be exempt over there is because the courts gave you a permission of fulfilling a mitzvah. But, however, regarding when the courts give you permission to do something that's not a mitzvah purpose, then, yes, like the halacha of a mishnah, you would be chayv, although you're liable, but you're liable. The time, like, learn the b'raisa. Yehuda Aimi says explicitly in the b'raisa, b'ner Chanukah pata, the reason why you're exempt by the candles of Chanukah is b'ner shurushus mitzvah. It's not just that the courts let you, it's letting you to fulfill a mitzvah. A mitzvah, then you're going to be exempt from the damages. But that doesn't contradict. Rabbi Yehuda could be like the halacha of a mishnah, although you're allowed to, but if damages happen, even though we let you, it's Rishus Bez, and you're going to be chayiv for the damages. However, the Gemara continues asking, Tashma, we learn the Braisa as follows. Kol elu sha'amr, regarding all these things that we said, that mutarin lekalkul b'shus harabim, that you're allowed to cause some type of ruination in the public domain. For example, like we said, pouring out your wastewater or it's emptying out the waste buckets that you have in your private domain, still says the Braisa, im hiziku chayim l'sha'am, if it causes damage, you're going to be liable to pay. Rabbi Yehuda Paita says the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says you're exempt, that's clearly not like the halacha of a mishnah, because if you're saying that you're allowed to, which Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to, he says not only you're allowed to, you're exempt. And the halacha of a mishnah says that if you take out these types of things to Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be chayiv. Some Rav Nachman, he says, not a difficulty. Our Mishnah is talking about a time when people don't usually take out the manure, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda he. It is like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda that says that you're allowed to, and thus you're even exempt from damages, only at the time when it's normative, like he says, b'shasay tzay zvalim. But not all year do people take out the manure. The halacha of our Mishnah is talking about when you take it out at a time when people don't usually take it out, then you're not allowed to, and therefore then you're going to be chayiv, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Or another approach, Rav Asher, he says, as we continue out to Amud Beis, he says, we learned in the Mishnah, the halacha that you're going to be liable for is if you take out your straw or your stubble. There, yes, Rabbi Yehuda would agree you're going to be liable because it's not yet manure, it's not zevel yet, and those straw and stubble are hard things, and therefore you're liable, Mishum the Mistriki. It's because they're slippery. You could easily slip. When did Rabbi Yehuda say you're going to be potter? That's when you take out manure, zevel, which a person could take that out, that's not easy for a person to slip on. That's why you're going to be putter. But he would agree to the halacha of our Mishnah that if you take out Tevin Akash, which are harder things which you could slip on, that is a liability, that's a negligence that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're going to be chayavan. Now the Mishnah continued and said, "Kalakoid men zacha." Not only are you liable for the damages, but whoever wants could go ahead, first come, first serve, could take this guy's stuff. You have no rights to put in the public domain. You put it there, we could go ahead and take it out. So on that, the Gemara has a machlokes. Amar Rav. Rav says, "Bein begufan, bein b'shivchan." This halacha that you could take this guy's stuff is even the principle, and for sure the shevach, what increased since it was put into the Rishas Rabbim, like for example, what you put out the straw on the stubble where now it got better, it turned into a good fertilizer. Not only could you take even the part that increased in the Rishas Rabbim, which for sure is at the cost of the public, which for sure we're going to take that away and penalize that, but even the principle, which was always worth that amount before it was put into the Rishas Rabbim, says Rav, even that you could take. He disagrees. He says, no, b'shivchan avalei b'gufan. The halacha was only regarding what increased. That was at the cost of the public. But the principle, that's not something that was at the cost of the public. That was what it was worth before it even went in there. And that you're not allowed to take away from the guy. So the Gemara says, b'mai kemiflegi, what is their disagreement based on? So the Gemara explains, Rav savu kanzu gufan mishum shivchan. Rav said that we penalize the principle because of what increased. And that is because that what increased, it's for sure something at the cost of the public. So moreover is that we say that now we're going to penalize together with that the principal. He says, no, we don't penalize the principal because of what increased. What increased, that's his loss. But the principal, we don't include in that, and therefore you can't take that. Now, the Gemara asks on Rav from Tznan, from our Mishnah. The Mishnah concluded and said, if someone turns over dung, animal dung in the public domain, now you acquired it by picking it up, and now it caused damage to someone else, so he's going to be liable for the damages. Now the Gemara makes a diuk. On this halacha, the Mishnah, it doesn't say the words, oh, now whoever wants to go out and take this guy's dung could come first up. It doesn't say that over there. Now, what would the reason be? Because dung is fertilizer. It doesn't get any better in the public domain. It's already at its optimal state. And therefore, it's difficult to rav. According to Zi'iri, it makes sense. Because we only penalize, you can only take from this guy what it was mashbich and rishas rav. Here, this guy, he acquired dung. That is already in its prime state. So therefore, there's nothing to take. So it doesn't say kalakon mazacha. But according to Rav, that holds we penalize everything, not just shvach, but even the guv. So why doesn't it say kalakon mazacha? Obviously, it's not like Rav. So the Gemara says, no, tanu l'reisha v'hu adin l'seifim. It said it in the reisha, which kalakoyd men zacha, and it also applies to the next case of the Mishnah, to the halacha of being mahapach begal. It just doesn't repeat it every time. Now, that the Gemara asks, but tanu Allah, but we actually learned in the braisa that clarifies the halacha of our Mishnah, that asur in mishum gezel, it says actually that it is forbidden to take it because of theft. Obviously, it's going back on this last halacha, because the first halacha actually says it's permitted to take. There is no gezel, kalakoyd men zacha. So which halacha would it be talking about? The sefer, the end of the Mishnah, which is regarding the gaul, that it's forbidden to take, which is clearly like Ziri, not like Rav. So the Gemara says, no. Ki ketani asur mishum gezel. When did the Braisa qualify the halacha of our Mishnah saying that it's forbidden because of theft? Actually, akul masne inkoy. Actually, it's going on the whole Mishnah, even on the case of when the guy put out his straw in the stubble. Now, what does that mean? How could it be forbidden of theft if you said kolokoyd men zacha, that whoever wants could take this guy's stuff? So obviously, what it's saying is as follows. It's la'ose shekodim v'zacha. It's for the guy who went first and said, whoa, this guy left this thing in the street. He's not allowed to put it in the street. And I know the sages said that you're allowed to take not just even what it was mashpich, but even the guf. He goes and he acquires it. And that is what the Braisa clarifies and says, now a second guy cannot come and steal from the first guy. Because the first guy was already kainit, because kolokain and zacha applies to everything, not only the shvach, but even the guf. Now that the Gemara says, but it's not true. But we didn't learn like the way you're answering in the Braisa. That's not like we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamitzi tivne bekasha l'shus rabm l'zvon. Someone takes out his straw and his stubble to the public domain to create manure, v'huzik ben achar, and it caused damage to someone else, like we said in the Mishnah, chayv ben niskois, you're liable for the damages, v'chalakoyd men zacha, and whoever comes first merits it. Now the Braisa adds on the words, umutu mishum gezel, and obviously, so there's a permissibility of theft. There's no problem, like we're saying, kolakoyd men zacha. Now, v'hoifich es agol l'shus rab, now the Braisa clarifies the sefer, the next case of the Mishnah, if someone turns over dung in the public domain, V'huzg benach, and it caused damage to someone else, so chayv is going to be chayv. And the Braisa says clearly, v'asu mishum gazel, that it's forbidden because of theft. You see clearly that there's no din of kol koidim and zacha on the dung. But why? That's difficult according to Rav, where he says, yes, although it's not mashbiach, but you knas not just the shvach, but even the guf itself. So why is it forbidden of theft to take the guy's dung? On that, Rav Nachma Yitzchok, he answers the question, says, kol karamis, you're asking from dung? No, that's not difficult in Rav, because davish yesh b'shvach, something that has the ability to increase in benefit, in its quality, that's where Kansu Gufa Mishim Shivcha. That's where Rav said that we penalize, that we say that not only do you lose, that someone could take your shvach, but even the principle. But davar shein b'shvach leKansu. But something that has no shvach, there's no knas. In other words, it was only because once we're saying this thing is increasing, not only do we say that that came at the cost of the public and we're going to take away the shvach, but even the knas is going to apply to the karen, to the guf. Here, my dung, there is no shvach to it. It's already at its prime when the guy was merited in this thing to be liable for the damages. So there's no shvach to say that, oh, so we're going to knas the guf with it. So how can you ask from gold? That's not difficult on Rav. Yes, Rav would agree, of course, that there you're not going to be able to kalakoyim and zacha on the dung because there's no shvach to say that includes the guf with it. Now, Iboilu, we had the following question. L'divri ha'emer kansu guf and mishim shivcha, and according to Rav that we just explained, that he holds that we penalize the principle itself because of what increased. Now the question is, does the penalty apply immediately? Or does it apply only when it increases in benefit? Now that came at the cost of the public, which the shvach for sure we could take away. Now we could also take away the guf. So is it immediately, since it could be mashbiach? Which again, if it cannot be, we said you can't take anything, but if it could, do we say immediately that the knas applies, you could take the guf? Or only once it's mashbiach, then you could take the shvach and the guf with it? So the Gemara answers, Tashema, come in here, midikarin and gol. From the fact that we had asked originally on Rav's halacha, from the case of the Mishnah of gol, of dung, obviously that Rav holds that the penalty applies immediately. Because it would be, as you're saying, only after it's mashbiach, then how could you have asked a question from Gol in the first place if Gol never is mashbiach? And therefore, obviously, it must be that, although we ended up answering that Noah has to be able to be mashbiach, fine, but obviously is that we understood that it was immediately that when you penalize it, and that's why it's even before there's any shvach, so we entertain to say that Gol too, that even though there's no shvach, you could take it away. So the Gemara says, no, but Tisbra, can you entertain to prove from there? What do you mean? Ki Irene and Gol, when we had asked the question from the halacha, the Mishnah of Gol, that was mikmeid the lishani Rev Nachman. That was before Rev Nachman had given his answer. In other words, at that point we thought that although it's not going to be mashbiach, we thought still Rav penalizes always not shach but always the guf, and for sure something that ultimately is going to be mashbiach, we entertained to say yeah that the knas would have been immediately. But the Gemara is saying, now that we know Rav Nachman's answer, which is no, it has to be somebody that's mashbiach, can you ask from the case of gol at all? So in other words, now that we know that the reason of the knas on the guf is because of the shvach, that's where the question would still apply, is that knas immediately, or is that only when it's mashbiach? So the Gemara doesn't answer that question, when is the knas, is it immediately, or it's only after it actually increases? But the Gemara says, let's say this machlekes that we mentioned is a machlekes tanoim. The following braisa. The braisa says, shtar shekasev boy, a document that's written in it, that somebody borrowed with ribis, with interest, that he has to pay more than what he borrowed. So says the braisa, so we penalize him. Veina goy v'loisa, karen v'loisa ribis. Now the lender cannot collect not only the interest that he was charging, but he can't even collect even the principal that he lent the guy. That's the rimeir, that's the opinion of mayor. The sages say, no, goyves a karen, he could collect the principal of what he lent the guy. Avalei seribis, but not the interest, because that's forbidden in the Torah. Says the Gemara, lema rav damakre meir. Let's say rav, who makes a knas of shvach to include the guf, is like Reb Meir, who says you cannot collect not just the interest, but even the principal. And uziri damakre abana, and ziri that says that you don't, is like Rabban, who says that you don't. So that the Gemara says, no, amalcha rav would tell you, anode amri afil rabban. I could be going even like Rabbanan. How so? Because ad kan lekam Rabban Hasam, where do we find that over there the Rabbanan do not penalize that you cannot collect the guf? They say you could collect the principal. That's elikaren de bet teri. That's because there the principal is permissible. Lending a guy $100 and collecting that $100 obviously is permitted. So we're not going to penalize you on that. Aval hacha keren gufa kamazig. But here says Rav, the Rabban would agree to me, where here even the principle that you put out is itself could cause damage. So it's not a heter, it's something forbidden in the keren itself. So the shvach, for sure, your whole gain was in the public, for sure you lose that. But they would agree to me that you would be kanas with that, the guf itself, because the guf itself is not something that's really permitted either. It's also something that could cause damage. So there they would agree that you would be kind as guf otter shavach. Now, Zeir Amalach, and Zeir would tell you, I know the Amr Filler Meir, that I could be going even like a mayor who holds that you do kanas, the principal of the loan, together with the interest. Because Ad Kan Lakom Rameya Hasam, where do we find Rameya over there that he does knas the guf with the shvach? That's Ella, that's only because the Meshask Siva, because from the moment that you write that document, the Ovid Lay Suma, at that point already, you did a placing. In other words, you already placed on that person the obligation of the Neshach, of the interest, which already is a violation that the Pasuk says of Lay Sesimino Lav Neshach. It's not just from when you get paid the interest, it's from the placing of the obligation of the loan with interest. So there, that's where Meir says that you're going to knas not just the interest, but the loan itself. But who says over here that what the guy puts out on the street is going to cause damage? It's not necessarily going to cause damage. And since it's not a total iser like it is by the loan, that the moment you give the loan, the whole loan is a prohibition. Therefore, there you knas, where Meir knas, but here he would agree that only the shvach, what you gained off the public, that you lose, but the guf itself, you wouldn't be knas together with the shvach. But the Gemara continues saying, Le mekandet tanoi. So fine, it's not like this. They could each explain their Amarok opinion according to either Tana. But let's say it's like the following Machlokes Tanoi, like we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says, like the Halacha of our Mishnah, Hamaitzi tivnei v'kasha l'shosaram l'zval. Again, if someone takes his straw and his stubble to the public domain to turn into manure, v'hozik ben acher, and somebody else gets damaged from it, so Chai ben Iska, the owner of the straw, is going to be liable for the damages. Moreover, and whoever goes first come, first serve, you can take that guy's stuff, his straw and stubble, and you can take it home. And v'asur mishum gezel, it's forbidden because of theft. Rashi Gemara is going to explain in one moment. He says, he says anything that causes that ruination in the public domain and causes damage, the owner of that has to pay. And whoever comes first come, first serve. Umutam Rishon Gezel, and he says it's permitted because of theft. There's no problem about taking the guy's stuff. Now the Gemara asks, Hagufa Kasha? Seems to be an internal contradiction in the words of the Talmud Kama. Amrit, you said, Kolokoid Men Zacha, first come, first serve. You can take this guy's straw and stubble. But Hadu Kama, then you, the Talmud Kama, say, Asur Rishon Gezel, that's prohibited to take it because of theft. What does that mean? Aren't you allowed to take it? So why is there a problem about theft? Says the Gemara, Alav Hacha Kama, isn't this what they're saying? Talmud Kama was saying was of a Kolokoid Men. Whoever comes first, zacha b'shivchan, yes, first come, first serve, in the guise what he increased in benefits since he put into the street. Now, but vasur mishum gezel, when the Tanakhama says, but it's forbidden to take because of theft, was agufan, was on the principle itself, that you're not allowed to take. Now, vasur b'shim mingam li lameiman, that's what b'shim mingam li was coming to say and disagree, that no, afil agufan nami, even the principle itself, kol akoyd men zacha, first come, first serve, and Mutar Mishum Gezel, and there's no problem about theft. So similarly, the Machlik is Rav and Zeiri. Is this Machlik is Tanoi? So the Gemara answers, L'Zeiri Vadi Tanoi. He says, definitely it has to be a Machlik is Tanoi. In other words, he can't say that everybody would agree, like he said, that we don't knas the guf together with the shach, because Reb Shimon ben Gamliel clearly penalizes everything. He says, not just the shvach, but even the guf. He says, no problem about theft. Says the Gemara, L'Rav Milei Tanoi. Do we have to say according to Rav that it's a Machlokes Tanoi? And that the Gemara says, no, I'm like Rav. Rav would tell you, Dekulei Amo Kanzo Guf Mishum Shivchan. Rav would say, everyone agrees to my opinion that we penalize not just the Shvach, but also the Guf. Now, V'hacha, but here, B'halacha Ve'in Moirikin Kamifliki. What they're disagreeing about is the halacha concept known as that it's a halacha, but we don't direct people to do that. In other words, the Tanakam in this halacha held that we do penalize, not just the shvach, but also the guf, like Rav said, but the ein moirin kein. We don't tell people to do that. So therefore, this is how we read the words of the Tanna Kamma. The halacha is, kalakoid men zacha, first come, first serve, even like Rav said, not just the shvach, but also the guf. But that's after the fact. Now, but if a guy comes from the beginning, and he asks us, this guy put his thing, the damager, in the public domain, I want to take his stuff home, Could I take not just the shach, but also the guv? And that way we tell him, asur mishum gezel. No, it's forbidden to take because of theft. So it's really both. It is permitted after the fact, but it's still asur mishum gezel. We would tell people not to take it. Didma, like we learned, that this actually is machlekes amiram. Rav Huna Marav, he says, halacha ve'ein marin kein. The halacha is like this, that it's permitted to take not just the shvach, but also the guf, but we don't tell him. We tell people, no, it's forbidden to take because of theft. Whereas Rav Adar Bahava, he says, halacha marin kein. He says, no, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that actually it's a halacha, and we even tell people, go ahead, take not only the shvach, but also the guf. Now, the Gemara, however, asks, regarding what we just mentioned, Edni, is that really so? That Rav Huna said, it's halacha, but the marin kein. If someone puts out something that causes damage in the public domain, not only could you take the shvach, but you could also take the guf. That part regarding the guf, we tell people, no, it's forbidden because of theft. But v'harav huna afker chushle. Rav Huna, he said it's ownerless. Whoever wants could take this chushle, which were these peeled barleys, which somebody had spread out in the public domain, to dry it out over there. Now, Rav Huna was mafkrit, and he says, kol hakoyd menzach, he says, first come, first serve, you could take away this guy's barleys, you could take it home, which was not just the shvach, but even the guf. So to Rav Adar Bahava, he was afker, as we continue on top of Laman Alf, and Alf, salikusta, which either it means to say the refuse of what was pressed off from the dates where they make beer from it, or it's the sediments of the date beer, which they dry out like this congealed wine, and they give it for donkeys to eat. But that was in the public domain, and so similarly, Rav Adar Bahava was mafgrit, and whoever wants could take this guy's stuff. Now, so the Gemara says, Bishlam Rav Adar Bahava Kishmaite. So we understand how he was able to do that, because that's like his teaching, where that's the machlokes he has with Rav Huna Marav, and he says it's halacha u'marin kein. This is the halacha. And not only we actually go ahead and renounce it, we say, you could take his guf, you could take it home. But Rav Huna, lema hadabe, but the Gemara asks, but let's say Rav Huna retracted his halacha, because if he says, as we quoted before, ain marin kein, yet we know from his story that he was mafkin, he says whoever wants could take it, seemingly he retracted his halacha. But the Gemara says, no, hanu musrun havu. Those people that had put out the barley that he says you could take it home and you're going to take even the guf, they were already forewarned many times to take it away and they didn't take it away. And that's why Rav Huna says, first come, first serve. But a regular guy who puts it out, that Rav Huna still holds his halacha, that it's halacha, ve'ein marin kein. Although if a guy does take it, he's allowed to, but we don't tell people. Actually, we tell them, if he would come and ask us a shayla, we say, assume shem gezel, you're not allowed to take his guf, the principle itself, back home.